As you grab your seat, grab your Bible, your copy of God's Word, and I pray that you brought that with you this morning, because you never just want to take the preacher's word for it. I was talking to Don Bratcher earlier. He said in his Bible fellowship class, he challenged his class to challenge the preacher, and you should, all right? You should. You should never take whoever's speaking, whoever's preaching the Word of God, you should never just take his word for it. You should always have the standard. Can I get an amen that the Bible is the standard? Amen? Amen. Amen. Don't you ever just say, well, the preacher said it, so I believe it. Uh-uh. If God says it, you better believe it. What a great song that we just finished on, just thinking about an anchor for our soul. Guys, listen, I don't know if you came in this morning still whirling a little bit from the affairs and the decisions that have been handed down by our nation's top court. A lot of folks said, well, the Supreme Court has spoken, and I just come back to saying the Supreme God has spoken also. Listen, y'all, some things have changed, but you know what? There are a lot of things that haven't changed. God is still on his throne. We are still, and I can't wait to preach next Sunday. I'm excited to preach this Sunday, but I can't wait to preach next Sunday as I preach to you, welcome to Babylon. You didn't realize it. This whole time you thought you were living in Kentucky, USA. But you are a stranger and an exile in Babylon. I can't wait to preach that to you next week. But this week, as we think about that anchor that holds, I can't help but think about how every heart longs for safety from harm. Your heart longs for that. Your husband's, your children's, everybody that you know, deep down inside, they long for safety from harm. And back in the old days, we don't have this as much anymore, but back in the old days, the greatest picture of security was a great big old castle. How many of y'all ever visited a castle before? They are amazing. Back in 2002, Christy and I had the opportunity to visit a castle. She studied in England and led several mission trips to Europe. But in 2002, we got to go together, and we were leading a trip, a month-long trip in England and Ireland. And so we had a day down one day, and we decided to go do some sightseeing. And we went and visited this castle right here. That is Blarney Castle in near Cork, Ireland. And when you think about castles, as far as castles go, I mean, that one looks kind of cool. But it's not that big. I mean, as far as castles go, it's not that impressive. But it's still the very essence of protection. The very essence of protection. If enemies came, what would they do? They would, all the people in the surrounding towns and villages, they would run to the castle, get inside the castle for safety, because it had thick walls and high walls and towers and numerous portals in the side of the castle where archers could get in and shoot out, but they couldn't be shot. They couldn't be shot at. They couldn't be hit. They could shoot out, but they couldn't be shot themselves. This castle right here, you see, it doesn't have a moat around it, but so many of the castles back in those days had a great big old moat. And back in its heyday, I guarantee you, Blarney Castle had knights in shining armor riding out to go attack the enemy. I don't know, they might even have a fire-breathing dragon. I don't know. Just kidding about that part. But nevertheless, our hearts long for protection. They do. That's why today's passage speaks to your heart and to my heart. In fact, in this passage in John chapter 10, we're not just offered protection, we're offered eternal protection. You see, guys, real protection is not found in castles or knights or big thick walls or archers or any of those things. It's not found in muscle or firepower, or how many tanks you have, or how many dollars you have, or how many brains you've got. Listen, there's nothing simpler than this protection that Jesus is talking about here, right? It's way simpler than all those things I just mentioned. It's found in knowing Jesus. Your heart and my heart longs for protection, and it's found in Jesus. Let's look at our text today, John chapter 10. Beginning in the 7th verse, in the honor to honor the reading of God's word, would you stand with me as we read John chapter 10, verse 7 through 10. John 10, 7 through 10. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that every heart here, as we long for security, as we long for to be safe from harm, Father, that we would begin to feel that out of this passage. God, that you would speak to our hearts that maybe are trembling or just confused about things that are going on around us. Father, help us to find security in your Son. He is the door. And in that door, behind that door, is security. Father, I pray for the one that does not know Jesus this morning. We pray that through the witness of this people gathered here and through the preaching of your word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God, would you give them eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to love Jesus this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Grab a seat. Here in this passage, Jesus says that he is the door of the sheep. And to be honest, it's easy for us to just think we know exactly what he's talking about here, because let's be honest, some of this metaphor is lost on us. How many of y'all know what a door is? Yeah, I hope so, because you walked in one. You probably, you walked out one to get out of your house. You went through a door to get into your car. You went through a few doors to get here into the building, into the worship center here. So you know what a door is, but that's not what Jesus is necessarily talking about. He's talking about the door to a sheepfold. He is a sheep door. He is a sheep door. Okay? Some of those, let's look here for just a moment at what one of those might look like. A sheepfold, some of them were square. Some of them were square. Some of them were circular. All right? Just picture this in your mind then. All right? Some of those pictures, if you think about what those look like, they basically like a stone wall. Just picture just rocks piled about that high, and picture it going around in a square and having an opening. Okay? So picture that in your brain. Or some of them are circular. Yeah, there we go. That's a square one. You see, there's a door there. There's a door. Actually, there's not a door there, is there? There's an opening. So that's what a square one would look like. Here's what a circular one looked like. They've got different kinds. I guess it depended on what the guy, what the mood he was in. But you can see again, there's an opening. And so you might be saying, where's the gate? I mean, if I have a place where I'm going to pin up animals, I'm going to have a gate there to keep them in. So, I mean, did the gate like rot away? Is this like so long ago that maybe just there used to be a gate, a wooden gate there hanging and swinging and all those things, but now it's gone? No. You see, here's the truth of the matter. That opening in the wall where sheep would enter and exit at night, the shepherd literally became the door. Literally, that shepherd, once he got all of his flock in there, once he got them all in that enclosure, in that sheepfold, he would literally lay across the opening and become the door of the sheepfold. No animal could come in and no animal could get out. No thief. He would even put, a lot of times he would put thorn bushes and all sorts of things over the top of those walls that if a thief tried to come in and try to get one of his sheep, he would be stuck. You know, the thorns would keep him away, kind of like barbed wire fence back in ancient times. He would be protected, but literally that shepherd would place himself between the outside and the inside, keeping those sheep safe. No animal could get out and no enemy could get in without the shepherd knowing it. You see, the shepherd is the door. The shepherd is the door. He's a living door. And so today's takeaway is very simple. You know, the preaching of the gospel is simple, isn't it, right? I mean, these things are not hard for us to understand. Children can understand it. Here's today's takeaway. Enter through Jesus and find eternal protection. enter through Jesus to find eternal protection. That's the message that Jesus is preaching here to you and to me. Our hearts desire to be safe from harm, and it's found in Jesus Christ. Enter through Jesus to find eternal protection. And so as I think about that truth there, that takeaway, questions began to pop into my mind. And the first question that might be popping into your mind this morning is, why do we need protection? Why do you and I need protection? I want you to think about three reasons why that you and I need that we need protection. The first reason is that you and I are sheep. Can y'all say bah for me just real quick? All right, yeah, y'all even sound like sheep. I hope you don't smell like sheep. But anyway, this entire passage assumes that we are the sheep. If Jesus is the door, if Jesus is the shepherd, the living door, then you and I are the sheep. And as you well know, probably if you know anything about the Bible, is that over and over again, the Bible calls you and me. It calls us sheep. It's not because we're soft and cuddly and cute and white and curly haired and all those things. It's because you and I are basically helpless. We are basically helpless. Indeed, I mean, you think about sheep. They are some of the most defenseless of all creatures. Some would call them dumb. Now, I ain't calling y'all that this morning. I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, you think about sheep. Oftentimes, sheep don't know left from right. A lot of animals, if you were to turn them out in the wild, they would survive. They would do fine. Sheep, you turn them out in the wild, they will die. You see, they can't fend for themselves. They have no survival skills whatsoever. They are completely dependent upon the shepherd. And just like a real sheep, you and I are the same way. Let's be honest. I know y'all are strong and independent and you're tough and all those things. But can I just say you're not nearly as independent as you think you are? You're not nearly as strong as you think you are. As I think I am. We're not nearly as smart as we think we are. Man, we need a shepherd, don't we? We need a shepherd. Like sheep, we're also very prone to grow astray. Sheep love to wander away from the sheepfold. They love to get away from the flock and go out and do their own thing. Isaiah 53 verse 6 tells us that like sheep, we have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And so you and I are sheep, and like sheep, you and I need protection. Number two, why do we need protection? It's because we have external predators. You and I have external predators. When you think about that sheepfold that you just saw a moment ago, one of the main reasons for those is to keep predators out. Like the four-legged kind. I mean, back in those days when we were talking about wolves and lions and bears. We see the wolf talked about in John 10:12. John 10:12 says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Right? I mean, that's the four-legged type of protection. That's what they were looking for, but also against the two-legged type, that's what the sheepfold was for. Like what? What are the two-legged type? Thieves and robbers. Do you see that there in John 10:1? John 10:1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. You see, Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now surely you and I, if we know anything about sheep, we know that there are those that would love to harm sheep, right? I mean, the predator, the wolf, the lion, the bear, the thief, the robber would love to get their mitts on a sheep. And just like that with you and me, there are those that would love to do us harm. That would love to entice us and drag us away from our shepherd Jesus. False notions, false teachers, false prophets. Their desire, spiritually destroy you and me. Indeed, God tells us. He tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 that we better be on the lookout, right? Be sober-minded, he says. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And you know what? To be honest, he doesn't care who it is. He is a prowler. He is a man of opportunity. He is a spirit of opportunity. And whoever he can find that he can get his hands on, he'll be glad to get. It doesn't matter. And so you and I, we better work to be on the lookout. Because let's be honest, sheep, they don't look out for themselves. I got anybody that's a Bugs Bunny fan on here? Any Bugs Bunny fans? All right, good deal. How many of y'all remember Ralph Wolf and Sam Sheepdog? I love those, right? I mean, it was always like the sheep were clueless. They're just sitting there eating, and all of a sudden, Ralph would... I didn't even realize his name was Ralph Wolf. I thought he was Wally Coyote, but his actual name is Ralph Wolf. And Ralph would sneak up and the sheep was gone. Sheep don't even know to protect themselves. But there was old Sam Sheepdog, brunk, 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 you know, just always whooping the wolf. And it's like that, guys. We are like that. We are open to be preyed upon. The devil would love to get his hands on us. We need a protector. We need a protector. But third, not only are there external predators, there are internal predators. We have an internal predator, and its name is sin. Sin. We don't have to worry about just those with the tooth and fangs. We've got to worry about that which is in us. Just like in the pasture, the shepherd has to inoculate his sheep against disease, doesn't he? Right? I mean, bacteria, viruses, all those things that sheep can catch that are inside of them. Those are internal predators. And you and I have, in very similar ways, spiritually speaking, an internal predator. Sin, which seeks to destroy us. One of the most haunting passages in Scripture is delivered to Cain after he had killed his brother. Actually, that was probably before he killed his brother. In Genesis 4, 6 and 7, the Lord told Cain. Cain had gotten upset and angry. He said, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" And notice this, church. "And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door like a tiger. It would love to devour you. It desires for you," he said. "But you must rule over it." You see, the sin inside you and me that leads us to go astray and to go our own way, it's got a power. It loved to devour us. It would love to devour us. Jesus tells us in John 8:34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." That tiger wants to get you and to hold you down and to make you do his bidding. The Bible says if we're slaves to sin, that we're caught up, that we're enslaved, ready to do its bidding. And so when you drink to drunkenness, you are doing sin's bidding. When you cuss, when you lust, when you get high, when you gossip, or when you tell lies, or when you tell other people down with your words. When you gossip, when you hold grudges and unforgiveness and hate, when you do those things, you are doing sin's bidding. God told Cain to be master over sin. But can I say to you this morning? For a sinner, that's impossible, right? By our own strength, by our own might, it's impossible. You see, you and I are born sinners, the Bible says. And we're sheep who can't master anything. We need a shepherd. And so without a doubt, you and I need protection. And right here in John 10, Jesus is offering protection to us. Look at John 10, verse 7 again. So Jesus said again to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." He is the protection that you and I need. That's the first question. Why do you and I need protection? The second question to think about this morning as we think about Jesus being that protection that we're looking for, is Jesus the only door? And I know we've kind of went through this with the other passages in this series. But again, I'm just going to go back and reiterate. You better believe he is, right? He is the only door. Absolutely, Jesus is the only door to protection. You look at the sheepfold a moment ago. How many doors did it have? One. Only one. Only one door. Now listen, there are many doors in life that you and I could walk through. Right? I mean, metaphorically speaking, a lot of doors. But only one leads to goodness and life. Every other door just leads to another door. Every other door just leads to more searching. Every other door just leads straight to death. There's this crazy house out in San Jose, California, called the Winchester House. Y'all ever heard of the Winchester House? I mean, it's this crazy house. It was built by the widow of the Winchester repeating firearms inventor, William Wirt Winchester was his name. And after he died, his wife went a little cuckoo, okay? And so she felt led to move out west and to build a house. And she became convinced that every person that had ever been killed by a Winchester rifle was haunting her. That's what she became convinced of. And she had bukus of money. I mean, she had money to burn, literally money to burn. And so what did she do? She decided to build a house that could confuse ghosts. And so she built stairs in these houses. I mean, the work on this house went for like 3 decades straight, never stopped, just kept being built on. Windows that looked into other rooms and doors that went to nowhere and stairwells that stopped in the ceiling, just weird stuff. Some of the doors, again, went to nowhere. But some of those doors, if you were to open them and walk through them, you would fall and die because it was on the 7th floor going outside. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what she would do, and that's how it is in life. I mean, there are all sorts of doors that you and I can walk through, but so many of them lead to nowhere. But most importantly, all others except for Jesus lead to death. When you think about this series, The Great I Am, which is the series, we're looking at the 7 I Am statements in the scripture. Every single one of the statements touch on the exclusivity of Jesus in salvation. That there's salvation in no other name. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine. And here Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Listen, I know that the exclusivity of Jesus, that he is the only way to salvation, I know that's offensive. But listen, you and I, we need him. Right? We've got to stand on that. We can't help it if it offends somebody else. If it's true, you and I need protection. And we cannot protect ourselves. And so we'll gladly run to that exclusive Jesus. You see, you and I are sinners. And left to ourselves, we would die in our sin. Because we are slaves to sin. But Jesus, the exclusive Savior of the world, for every person who will turn and put their trust in him, he is hope. He is life. He's the only one who took on flesh and lived the life that you and I cannot live and died the death that you and I deserve. He's the only one who took to a cross and endured the wrath of God that you and I might be set free and forgiven. He's the only one who rose again from the dead, that we might have victory ourselves over the tomb. There's no other one. Jesus is the only door. And finally, as we think about entering into Jesus to find protection, the final question is this: what's found inside that protection? I mean, we've already talked about what's outside of it. Thieves and robbers and wolves and those that want to kill us and devour us. But what's found inside of it? Look at verse 9 and 10. John 10, verse 9 and 10. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. 4 things that are found in the protection of Jesus this morning. First is salvation. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I don't know if any of you read R.C. Sproul, but R.C. Sproul has this book called Saved from what? And he tells a story in the beginning about how this guy came up to evangelize him one day. And of course, he was like teaching at a seminary. He himself was saved. But this guy ran up to him and said, stopped him in his tracks and said, wait a minute, are you saved? And R.C. said, he didn't know what to say. And so the first thing that came to his mind is, saved from what? And you see, the guy didn't have an answer. He just knew the lingo. Guys, when we come to understand what we're actually saved from, what the salvation that's being offered us actually is, yes, we're saved from robbers and thieves spiritually, right? Wolves, spiritual wolves. But most of all, can I say to you this morning, what you and I are saved from, what's inside the protection of Jesus, we are safe from the wrath of God that our sin deserves. You say, oh, preacher, don't talk about wrath. Guys, if we don't grasp that, then the good news is not good news. We've got to understand that God hates sin and will punish those that do not turn from it. In Jesus Christ, guys, listen to me closely. God brings you into the sheepfold and ultimately saves you from God himself. God brings you in to save him from him. I ask you this morning, would you be saved today? The salvation that he's offering from the wrath that your sin deserves, that my sin deserves. God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus. Not that you would have a better life. Yes, we want a better life, and he wants you to live a better life. But that you would be saved from the wrath that your sin deserves. And I pray this morning that if that's you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I pray that it would hit you like a ton of bricks, that you, at this point, are destined to the wrath of God. But if you will turn from sin and believe on Jesus, that wrath is extinguished and you can have life everlasting. That's the promise from him. He promises if you'll come into the sheepfold, enter through Jesus, that you will have salvation. But secondly, he says that we will have blessing. Notice what he says there. He says that if you'll come in, right, you'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That's a picture of blessing. Right? I mean, just picture that sheep. I mean, what's he want to do, man? He wants to go eat. He wants to drink. He wants to have a good life. He wants to know what it is to have abundance in that life. And that's what God promises every person in Jesus, that he will provide for us. In the Old Testament, they talk about my cup runneth over. And if you will come to Jesus, that's the kind of life that you will have in this age and in the age to come. You will have a life that is blessed. Now, that doesn't mean you'll be rich or all those things, but it means that even in the midst of turmoil and despair, that you have joy unceasing. Third, he says that you will have life. What's found in the protection of Jesus? Life. He says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says that he came, that they may have what, church? Life. Life. I don't know about you, but life is better than death. Amen? And that's the choice that's before us. Do you want life? Then come to Jesus. If you want death, then continue to go your own path away from Jesus. It's that clear. You know, the Bible, there are some gray things in the Bible. But that one's as black and white as it comes. I mean, there's no middle ground with that. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. In Jesus, that sheepfold door, that living door, in him is found life. But then finally, number four, abundance. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Guys, I'm thankful for life, but I'm thankful for abundance in that. Again, my cup runs over. Friend, that's the promise that he has. And there are those that think that their joy is going to be found in sin, that their joy is going to be found in those things which God has said are forbidden. But I promise you this, it's a trick of the devil. In Jesus is where the party is. In Jesus is where life is found. In Jesus is where abundance is experienced, not just in this age, but forevermore. And so I say to you this morning, have you entered in through the door? Have you entered in through Jesus that you might have life everlasting? The Bible says that He is the door of the sheep, and whoever comes in will experience everything that has been offered here. But if you don't, you have no other hope in this world. And so I beg every one of you this morning, may you enter in through Jesus and have abundant life. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to the close of this message, Father, thank you for sending your Son that we might know what it is to be saved, that we might know what it is to be safe from harm. Father, this morning there are those in this congregation who know Jesus but do not feel safe from harm. God, I pray that in the midst of this invitation that the Holy Spirit would just bind up their heart, bring them security, Father, in their heart. And Father, for those that do not know Jesus, spiritually speaking, there is no safety for them. Father, they're in danger, actually. And I beg this morning, Father, that today, God, would be the day when they would see their need for Jesus. They would run from the danger and flee to the safety of Jesus. That today would be the day that they would enter the sheepfold through Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith in Jesus. Father, we're sheep. Thank you for a shepherd. It's in His name we pray.